Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Tony Spira, psychic researcher, son-in-law of the Warrens, director of the New England Society for Psychic Research on the phone now. Talk about The Conjuring. The Devil Made Me Do It. 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, Chaz and AJ in the morning. How's it going?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Morning.
What'd you think of the movie?
Oh, well, the movie was pretty scary and a good entertainment movie, I could tell you that much.
All right, that's a nice way to say you were watching and saying, that didn't happen, that didn't
right.
happen, that didn't happen.
Right.
That's right.
Did the movie make the story better?
No, because actually, you know, the movie's the actual case is more frightening than what Hollywood could ever come
yeah.
up with. Hollywood just always likes to take it in different and
there's a formula.
Yeah, in different directions.
Yeah.
It is a formula for sure. You know, when they say inspired by true events,
when you see the word inspired.
Yeah, inspired by true, or from the true story, or based on a true story.
Yeah.
You know, then they can take all kinds of dramatic license with it. The real story is frightening, stand alone on its own merit. But it was a good movie as far as, you know, production value, as far as acting, and as far as...
And they got the same couple playing Ed and Lorraine, right? And they're very likable. I like them playing Ed and Lorraine.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga are fantastic, actually.
And your wife... she's in this movie as a character, correct?
Yes. She plays Judy Warren. She plays, the daughter of Ed and Lorraine, and, you know, of course, she is the daughter of Ed and Lorraine. So Sterling Gerrans plays her. She had a very small part in this one. So they've already played and portrayed her at various stages of
in Annabelle, age. Right?
Annabelle Comes Home. Yeah. She was in that. She was featured in that one. So it's pretty cool. And in Annabelle Comes Home, they had a little Easter egg in there, too, with a guy named Tony Rios, supposed to be me.
Ah, that's cool.
Yeah, so he was...
It's going to be your nickname now,
hey,
Rios.
Hey, Tony Rios.
Hey, Rios.
Hey, call me Tony Rios.
Hey.
So they said they were going to use my real name. They had me sign a release and everything. Then he came up with Rios. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's easier
maybe
for them.
I thought I was Spanish or something. Right. Italian, I don't know.
Maybe that's what they needed someone... You know, no. how they,
but,
whatever.
But the real case, though.
So let's go to this case now, The Devil Made Me Do It. What happened?
Yeah, well, that's the case back in 1991. I'm sorry, 81, 1981 in Brookfield, Connecticut. And Arnie Johnson was about 18 years old at the time, and he was the boyfriend of Debbie Glatzel. And Debbie Glatzel was the sister of David Glatzel, who was about 11 years old at the time.
Let me guess. He gets possessed. All right. So David, what's the sister's name?
Debbie.
Yeah.
David.
She subsequently did marry Arnie. So what happened was, David did become attacked by this unseen force that he called the Beast. He said the Beast is coming after me. He would take on all these different personalities. You know, and he would become super strong. They'd have to hold him down. He'd see this thing in his bedroom. At one time, in fact, he built a small little toy, like an alligator made out of green toy made out of plastic, like a Tyrannosaurus or whatever. And that was seen by multiple people, this creature crawling across the carpeting of the house. It wasn't in the movie, but it's in the book. Crawling across the carpeting of the house, and a voice near it emanating out of this creature said, "You are all going to die." And that was actually a featured part of the book, kind of. It was totally left out of the movie.
Young Chaz had a toy like that. I'm sorry, it's going in the garbage.
Worse, he had Legos. Step on one of those,
here.
You want to die. Yeah.
Goodbye forever.
Right.
And just to make a long story short, the problem occurred when Arnie, who was very concerned for everything that was going on in the house, he really liked David. He really liked the kid. He was almost like a big brother to him. But he stayed in the house a lot, Arnie did.
And Arnie's how old at this point?
Arnie was 18.
All right, Arnie's 18, and he's dating Debbie?
He's dating Debbie.
Gotcha.
They're approximately the same age.
Okay.
And he felt bad for all the stuff that was happening in the house, you know, the torment and everything that David was going through, you know. And so what he did one day is he he grabbed David's hands and he shook David. He said, "Whatever's in you, whatever's in you, stop bothering him. Stop bothering him. He's just a kid. Come to me. Come to me. I'm a man." So what he did, in essence, which nobody should ever do, is he challenged the demonic. He challenged what was there, unknowing to him what would happen. Nothing happened at that time, but several weeks later, several days later, something did happen to Arnie is when he was talking to Alan Bono in the backyard, supposedly had an argument with him, and Alan Bono was a kennel owner, and he worked for him. And he had supposedly had an argument and took out a 5-inch folding knife and stabbed Alan Bono and killed him. And
how many times did he stab him?
A lot. I'm not sure how many, but he stabbed him until he was dead.
Yeah, like one of those very violent murders.
With the noise.
Right.
Nah, nah, nah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Talking to Arnie, and I've talked to Arnie even recently about it, and Arnie's never changed his story. He said one second I was standing out in the backyard there, the next minute I woke up, I was in custody. I said, "Where am I?" And they said, you're under arrest. He wasn't walking down the road and in blood on him, stuff like that. That didn't happen either. He woke up in custody. The police already had him in custody, but he doesn't remember anything about that at all. So, Ed and Lorraine were investigating this case all along when this happened. And Ed said, "I know exactly what happened."
So they were investigating David being possessed.
Yes.
So they were already involved, knew all the players.
Right. Yes.
This happens. And that kid, Arnie, when he murders this guy in the yard, he doesn't remember anything other than waking up in custody. But what happened? Was he, after he killed this guy, did he just stand there? Or was he walking down the street? Or
no,
what?
He didn't. No,
sorry, I watched TV.
No, he didn't walk down. He wasn't walking down the street. That never happened. I guess what happened was they must have called the EMTs and the police. And Arnie, I don't know, he must have been in a daze or something.
Okay.
And he doesn't remember what happened. He can't recall how he got arrested.
In the movie, was he walking down the street?
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No. That's made up.
Okay.
The movie took a lot of liberty.
So it's hard to compare the two.
You can't really compare the two.
It's almost like two different stories. Okay, I got you.
It's like two different stories. The true part about the movie was there was a stabbing. The true part about the movie was David was under diabolical attack. Another true part of the movie, if anybody watched the movie, and they should because it is a good movie, is that Ed and Lorraine met at a movie theater. They did back in 1942, actually, in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Ed was an usher there, and Lorraine went with her girlfriends, and she met Ed there. That's how they met. That was true in the movie. The gazebo part where a gazebo was built in the backyard of the house, that was true. So there are some elements of truth that were, woven through the whole movie, but it didn't happen the way the movie portrayed it happened.
So we only have a few minutes left, Tony. So we got Arnie, who's 18, dating Debbie, who's around the same age. She has a brother, David, 11, who seems to be possessed by something horrible.
Right.
The Warrens are investigating. Arnie grabs a kid and says, "Whatever's in there, I challenge you to take me on.
Right, I'm a man."
And then, whoop.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
And the next thing you know, Arnie's in the backyard arguing with someone, and he stabs him to death.
Yeah, and yes, that's correct.
Yep.
So Arnie did go to trial. Ed Warren tried to introduce that the devil made Arnie do it. That's why they call it the Devil Made Me Do It case, that Arnie was under diabolical possession, and that was going to be the defense. But the judge threw it out, saying, we don't use the devil in our courtroom as a defense. We use the law. So he threw it right out, and Arnie spent 5 years in prison for manslaughter.
Doesn't seem like a lot.
Yeah, 5 years.
No, not at all.
I guess they kind of knew that this.
Yeah.
Arnie was a model citizen prior to that.
Wow.
A model citizen. So actually, that creature that I talked about, that's going to be at our Paracon in October 30th at the Marriott in Waterbury. So if anybody wants to see that.
What did you say?
The creature itself is going to be there?
Yeah, we're going to be there with the Annabelle doll, the creature, the shadow doll, the satanic idol that I have in the museum, all these museum items. We'll be at the Courtyard by Marriott on October 30th at our Paracon.
This is a movie waiting to happen.
You're bringing these things over there. Yeah,
they all join together, they like all, super like, friends.
Hey, what are we doing in this little prison camp here?
Let's all join forces. See,
let's go out and literally raise hell.
Exactly. Well, right, see?
If anybody wants tickets, because we still have some left, but they're selling pretty darn fast, they can go to warrens.net, warrens.net and click on events.
This will be Saturday, October 30th.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You know, in October, you're going to be asking yourself, let's do something scary.
Something different.
This will be gone, long gone. So get your tickets now.
And you guys, you're invited.
Thank you. Jennifer loves this stuff.
Yeah, I got this thing I got to do.
Jennifer used to go to see your in-laws when they spoke around the state.
Pardon me? What?
Jennifer used to go to see Ed and Lorraine when they spoke around the state. So she's a big fan.
Well, you know, the Paracon is going to be from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., so you guys might be able to make it if you're not sleeping because you'll be tired after your job. But I think it's, you know, be honest with you, it's the 30th. I forget what day that is. I think it's a Saturday.
Saturday.
So you guys are welcome to come. We'll buy you a steak if you come.
Oh, really?
Steak. You put a steak through it?
I don't want to be anywhere near the Annabelle doll.
No.
Really?
No offense. When you got a Barbie doll or something, G.I. Joe will be there.
I don't need that in my life.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it'll be fun, though, because we have a lot of vendors there, about 50 or 60. We have eight really great guest speakers, and we'll be there. All the team will be there, so it'll be great. We'll talk about all that stuff.
All right, Tony, thanks for coming on, brother. We're linked up on the radio station website. So you would recommend seeing The Devil Made Me Do It?
Yeah, I would recommend it as an entertainment movie, not if you want to see, like, exactly what happened in this case.
Right.
If you want to see good acting, if you want to see good actors, if you want to see the love between Ed and Lorraine.
And you'd be scared.
Yeah. And be scared. I think you'll enjoy it very much.
All right. Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it. There you go. Where's your bell? We have an announcement to make. We have a royal announcement.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Get your bell.
Oh, yay! Oh, yay! Oh, yay! There is an announcement.
Well, you know. Don't you know? Doesn't everybody know?
Oh, yay! Oh, yay! Prince Harry, who's not really a prince, and Meghan Markle, who's not really a duchess, had a baby.
A baby.
They had a baby. Hey, baby. Hey, baby.
A baby.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
The royal boobé.
Oh, yes. As opposed to the Michael Bublé. I'm getting a headache.
Yeah, me too.
Ouch.
Lilibet.
What? Lilibet.
Lilibet.
I say Lilibet.
Oh, yeah. Diana, Mountbatten, Windsor.
Good heavens. Mountbatten.
I think that's their last name.
Yeah.
Right?
It's picturing a bat mounting someone and beating them. I've been Mountbatten.
Lily was born on Friday at 11:40 a.m. Hospital in Santa Barbara. She weighed 7 pounds, 11 ounces. Seems like a good weight. Both mother and daughter are in healthy condition.
And complaining about something.
A news report explains the meaning of the baby's name.
The baby's name, Lilibet Diana, pays direct tribute to two towering royal figures. Queen Elizabeth herself, the baby's 95-year-old great-grandmother. Lilibet was her family nickname. And Prince Harry's late mother, Diana, Princess of Wales.
Did they have to explain that one?
I'm just curious. How are you a Princess of Wales? That means you're aquatic, you're in the boat, or like, you know, how do you do, like Aquaman?
What?
She's a Princess of Wales.
All right, where does Lilibet come from? So someone at some point couldn't pronounce Elizabeth, like some child?
Lilibet.
Well, some people call...
Lilibet.
Betty is a nickname for Elizabeth sometimes, so I don't know where the Lily part came from.
Right. Someone couldn't pronounce it.
Right.
They meant to say Elizabeth, Lilibet.
Right, but she was like a royal or something like that, so like, don't say anything.
Maybe it was the queen mom drunk out of her mind, Lilibet!
Yeah, that was her as a cougar.
It's Elizabeth.
That was her as a cougar in a bar.
Lilibet! Right.
Call me Lilibet.
Lilibet!
As she like eats the olive some guy's martini.
Right.
Call me Lilibet.
This is a flubble that just lives forever,
exactly.
And now the kid's named after a goddamn flubble.
Wow, that's annoying.
Maybe it could be called Cheeseburger Bobby someday. For mine. That would be awesome.
Why didn't they name the kid Oprah?
Oprah!
Right? It seems like Oprah has more, you know, of an influence on their life.
Oh, you know, she already gave them a gift, probably. Like a series.
You know, Harry wanted to name her Diana.
Right.
You know, he lost that argument.
He did. I say, let's call her now. Okay.
Do you think that this is Harry and Meghan sitting down with a piece of paper and like, let's write down all the baby names that we could No. This is, all right, all the managers of our fake company, let's gather around the conference room.
Right.
We need to spitball a name for the baby.
Go. Your name, baby, go.
I'd like to name it after my mom, Diana. Yeah, good idea. Let's we'll write that down. There's no bad ideas here, right?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And she crumples the paper.
Yeah.
Crosses it out.
Yeah, no bad ideas.
Now, first she acts like she wipes her ass with
exactly
it,
right,
then throws
right.
it in the garbage
right.
can.
Yes. I got you, Diana. Hanging.
They're not royals anymore. You can behave like that in front of them.
This is true, yeah. She can give the finger and everything.
Megan wants nothing to do with the royal family, but the two names of this baby
right.
are royal family names.
Exactly right.
Elizabeth and Diana.
Yeah, pick where you're going to be in this.
All right, so wait. We're going to name the baby after the head of the family that led the mother to contemplate suicide.
Right.
Ah.
Perfect.
Okay.
And just before lunch. How wonderful.
I just want to know the math equation on this one. You know, we're going to name it after grandma.
And the kid's got so many friggin' names. What was it? Little Bet, Mount Batten, this and that, and blah, blah, blah.
That was pretty close.
I didn't say word for word, jackass.
You said it was pretty close.
Hey,
I didn't say it was
Duke
exact.
Of Jackass.
That is your nickname?
The Duke of Jackass.
Lilybet Diana Mountbatten Windsor.
Mountbatten Windsor. Folks in Windsor are going, what's Mountbatten?
For a couple of people who've shown such... you know, dislike for the whole establishment, the family.
I will show disdain.
The family made her contemplate suicide.
Right.
It seems odd to me that they would, you know, name the baby after the head of that family.
Seriously. Unless it's like quotation marks, Lilybet.
No, like, but on one
like
side of the
genius?
Mouth, there's
yeah.
the, you know, we're out of this royal family crap.
Right.
The other side is, well, we want that association because that's what our business is. Isn't their logo like a crown? It's a crown that looks like an H and an M combined.
Right.
And I think their company's name is Sussex Royals, isn't it?
Right.
Like, the word royal is in the title,
they
but
wanted,
they wanted, hate the royal family.
They wanted crown royal at first, but they can't do that. Apparently, it's a booze.
Yeah, it's been taken.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do they do exactly?
What does this company do? They can't even come up with a good baby name. One's right. Lilybet, the other one's Archwell.
Oh, God.
Archwell.
Yeah, Archie.
You can't come up with a good name? Like, look up royal names. There are tons of excellent names.
Yeah, the names they give their kids in America means my ass is getting kicked.
That's right.
Lilybet.
Yeah, you're in the wrong. But you better be able to afford private schools for the rest of your life because
right.
Archwell's not going to do well in like Bridgeport public schools.
And neither will Lilybet.
Archwell's going to wear a sweater vest.
Can you imagine Archwell going to like a school in Bridgeport or right. New Haven or one of these tougher schools?
Yeah, no street cred there.
Yeah.
Archwell. Hello, I'm Archwell.
No, but he comes in with his little blue shorts and his blazer with
the crest
B
on
for
it.
Bridgeport crest.
Exactly right. Yeah. You and the 6601, man.
Probably three people carrying book bags and lunch. And
right. Yep.
Okay, good
bring,
luck,
bring
kid.
Plenty of lunch money to hand over.
Yeah.
Sussex Royal was not allowed by use of the royal family, so they changed it to Archwell, Inc.
Oh.
Archwell, Inc.
Yeah, they wanted all of that royal.
Yep.
Shine.
Archwell.
While crapping on them at the same time. That's pretty great.
Archwell sounds like a building. Turn right at the Archwell. And...
yeah.
Yeah, or some kind of structure. Yeah, well, the Archwell wasn't working properly. It's where that team of engineers look at it.
I used to think, you know what, this hairy guy, he's...
I thought it was cool at one point.
I get him.
Yeah.
You know?
He was the rebel.
Like, look, you're not going to tell me to do this stuff. I'm like, who's this beef eater guy, like, marching me around?
He was like, almost like Arthur at first.
I'm not going around cutting ribbons for the rest of my friggin' life. I'm going to have a life.
Is it such a tough thing to cut ribbons?
And then she comes around, and I didn't mind her that much either.
She's a dirty girl. Naughty, naughty, naughty.
All right, so whatever. When they crap on him, like, hard.
Yeah.
On Oprah. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Oprah's feeding them money here.
Keep yeah. Well, they're in business together. We right. didn't know that when the special aired. It's like, oh, it's a company.
Right.
All...
Oh.
One hand shaking the other.
Well, so Meghan Markle knows nobody in Hollywood when she gets married. She invites George Clooney and Oprah Winfrey to the wedding.
Right.
but not like family. Her dad wasn't there.
Right.
It's like, okay.
George said, what's my role again?
Yeah.
What am I playing?
Just bring some tequila.
Is there a script?
Yeah.
Yeah, bring some limoncello and Danny DeVito.
As a gift?
Right.
What does Danny DeVito have to do with that?
Because remember, for a while, him and George Clooney were hanging out, and at one point he went on The View or something like that. He was bombed on limoncello. He kept going, oh, limoncello, limoncello. Hammered. Totally hammered. So naturally, see George Clooney, if you check his trunk, there's Danny DeVito in there.
Yeah.
It's like a spare.
It's got to be a little bit of just in the back of Harry's mind, like, oh, man. My kid was born in England right now. That'd be a goddamn parade and trumpets blaring and
right.
Friggin' horses marching down the street.
That'd be cake.
Up on a balcony and planes flying, and it'd be a presentation of the Royal Boubet.
Right. They'd open London Bridge.
They'd have a fleet of corgis.
Which is falling down, yes. They'd be ticket tape parade.
There'd be just people just a mile long in line to kiss his ass.
Even more, it'd be so much.
And now it's like, Harry, take out the garbage and go down to the store and get some diapers.
Right. Roger milk. Damn it.
Take out the garbage.
Good heavens.
Yeah. That's your job.
Escort out the refuse. Have you lost your mind, woman?
Yeah.
Yep. He's going to bite him in the ass.
Yeah. There are times he misses it.
Yeah, you can tell.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm going to point towards England. Like bowing to Mecca.
Horrible plane crash. 6 people died. 4 people survived. The pilot, the cop, the prisoner, and the politician. Which, this looks like a movie.
Or a TV series.
Yeah.
An ongoing TV series.
The book is called Into the Abyss, An Extraordinary True Story. And it is an extraordinary true story. And Carol Chabin, or Chabin. Is it Chabin? Chabin,
man.
Is on. Your dad was the politician, right?
He was, yeah.
Wow. And he wasn't like a mayor or something. He was like a big-time politician, right?
He was a big-time politician. He was in Canada, they call it a cabinet minister. It'd be probably similar to a senator.
Wow.
So, I mean, a different system here, but he had a huge portfolio as Minister of Economic Development and Trade. High profile, and he was actually the first Muslim politician elected in Canada,
wow.
So a visible minority. And he was on that plane as well as a colleague, the opposition leader for the government in Alberta. So it was a commuter flight that headed north to their constituency in northern Canada. And it was the way that they got back from government, parliament, to their home communities up in the north. It was a regular kind of Friday flight.
And then there was a cop with a prisoner, right?
Yes, there was. So there was an RCMP officer who was taking a prisoner to face sentencing. And he had that prisoner in handcuffs. They were cuffed together, actually.
Oh.
And it was a really interesting kind of turn of events because they got on the plane. They'd been traveling all day. They weren't supposed to be on the flight. It was kind of the whole thing was an unfortunate series of events. But they'd missed their flight earlier in the day, and they'd had to kind of hop standby until they finally got on this flight, and they'd been kind of cuffed together all day, and they'd gotten to know each other a little. And when they got on the flight, the prisoner, who was a bit of a lippy guy and, a bit pushy, said to the cop, come on, I mean, do you need this? We're on the flight now. And the guy said, okay, but, just know that if anything goes sideways, man, you're like the long arm of the law is going to get you. So he had made this kind of risky decision on the flight to uncuff the prisoner who was cuffed to him, and that ended up saving everyone's lives, like the 4 survivors, because this prisoner was the only one who was uninjured in the crash and ambulatory and able to, he actually pulled the cop out of the wreckage. He was buried in the wreckage. So it was a kind of a, when the cop talks about it, he says it wasn't by the book, but he was glad he did it.
Wow. This is definitely a movie, and
yeah.
when the prisoner gets uncuffed I think to myself, this is why the plane crashes.
Yeah, right. Tries to controls.
Yeah.
Yada, yada.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, you probably couldn't. I sometimes joke with my editors. I said, if this was written as fiction, people would say, no, too much.
Yeah, exactly. There's too much. You got to make it more realistic.
Right. Dial it back a bit. Yeah.
How long into the flight do they know there's trouble, or how did that happen?
They were probably about an hour or so, and they didn't really, you know, as my dad said, they didn't really know. He thought they were coming in for a regular landing, but of course, it was a night that no other planes were flying, and in fact, you know, the leader of the opposition had kind of like gotten the last seat on this plane. Everything else was shut down. It was a miserable night, and the pilot should not actually have taken off. But his boss had kind of said to him, look, you fly the plane or you can, you know, look for work elsewhere.
Oh, like, man.
They were, you know, pressured to get into these places. So they'd been up probably about an hour and a half.
Was it because your dad and the opposition leader had to get back for something?
They were getting home, but also these small airlines, they were competing against, you know, they thought if they don't run their schedule,
people
are going to protest. And,
yeah, right.
And this guy, they were pushing the limits. So the pilot felt like he was pressured to get in. He didn't have one of his automatic direction finders wasn't working, so he was trying to do some dead reckoning. He was tired. And as my dad told me, he thought that they were coming in for a normal landing, and the pilot couldn't see the airfield, and there was no proper lights. These are small airports, northern Canada, and my dad says he remembers cupping his hand to the window to block out the interior lights of the plane.
Kind of look outside. Yeah.
Trying to look outside, and there was nothing. There was nothing. And what had happened
That's odd.
Is,
there's nothing out here.
I don't see anything.
There's nothing there.
Right.
Well, and imagine the
odd.
Pilot. He's flying blind, and he had made a miscalculation, thinking he was further ahead than he was, and started to descend too soon, and they hit the side of a big rise.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, the Christmas lights, yeah.
The first kind of indication was, well, there's this kind of juddering of the plane, and the wings had clipped the top of the trees. And otherwise, complete blackness.
Oh, can you imagine?
No, I can't. Because imagine me screaming as high as it can.
I would have to tase you to silence you.
It wouldn't be any time.
The pilot needs to be able to concentrate.
I would demand you just kill me right there.
Funny enough, nobody imagined. No, none of the survivors mentioned screaming crazily. I don't know what actually, but
this one guy was screaming like a girl.
Nobody said that.
Is that a giant bird outside?
No, it's a radio host.
No one admitted to screaming like a girl.
So you the wings clip the treetops, and then what? Your stomach just sinks and things.
Right.
He had to think he was going to die right then, right?
You got to think the worst at that moment.
Right. Or maybe to pull up, you know?
No, there was, I mean, at that point, there was nothing. Eric knew he was in it. And what happened was, it was incredible that any of these men survived because they plowed a thick brush, forest up there. And the trees sheared off the wings of the plane, and then it started to rotate. And actually,
it's
when
just
it
this
hit the
giant
ground,
tube.
Yeah, kind of like the Skinner crash was the same deal.
Right.
Into the woods.
Yeah. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the wings up, the whole nine yards.
Wings gone, rolled over, and kind of started like belly up, heading through this swath of forest. There was a long track of like destruction in the forest where this plane went through. And people who spotted the wreckage just said it was incredible that anybody survived.
Yeah, it's just metal everywhere.
Yep. Debris field.
What happens next?
Well, as my dad tells it, he found himself hanging upside down, and he's blind as a bat. He'd lost his glasses.
So he's strapped in his seat and
Strapped.
His tie gotcha. Facing up, downwards.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Hanging from, and so he said, you know, he was disoriented. Of course, he fumbled for his seatbelt and immediately kind of fell down, landed on his hands and knees. He managed to kind of just crawl out. As the men I interviewed say, they felt the cold air and they just moved toward, because pitch black, they moved toward the cold air. The pilot, the whole cockpit was smashed. He came out, I think, through the front. And Paul had somehow, you know, Paul had gotten himself out.
Paul's the prisoner?
Paul is the prisoner. As my dad tells it, they were standing outside. And, you know, the prisoner said, where's Scott? Who he'd been with all day, who is the cop, the RCMP. And that's when they realized they went back into the plane. And it was Paul who said, you know, my buddy, my travel mate is in there somewhere, which was extraordinary.
Well, you would think the prisoner would say, well.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
I'm free.
Or you're thinking, here's a good way to get in good and maybe get out early.
Right. Yeah, do a favor now.
Exactly right.
You know, there was a moment. Actually, where he had, I mean, this is what's extraordinary about, I think sometimes the way we look at people and the way we judge them, and we will write them off or we'll say, well, that guy's a criminal, that guy's no good for anything. And he could have. Like, this guy was a survivor. He lived on the street. He lived in the bush. He knew his way around. Mind you, this was pretty dense forest. I mean, he could have just bolted. He was on his way to prison. So, and the fact that he didn't, he just said, his instinct was, you know.
Where's Scott?
Where's
the
Scott?
Cop who's bringing me to court.
Exactly. Yeah. I miss him, yes.
And the interesting thing was that my dad's blind at this point, can't see anything. The pilot had thrown his hands in front of his face when the plane smashed into the trees, and his hands were completely mangled. They were useless. And so the only one really who could have saved this guy was the prisoner. And they all went back in, but, you know, it was soon apparent, you know, that the pilot's hands wouldn't work. My dad couldn't see. And so it was really Paul who pulled him out. And as the RCMP recalls it, he said, you know, he said he could hear him saying, you know, there were bodies on top of him. I'm sorry to be graphic, but the criminal was pulling on these bodies and saying, is this you? Is this you? And he'd say, no. And finally he located an arm, and the RCMP's left arm was sunk into the ground like a stake, just tethering him there.
Oh.
And so, but his other arm was free. And so, you know, my dad had Paul had directed. Here, imagine this criminal is directing this big time politician. You know, help me move this, do this, do this. But they finally managed to pull him out. And you know, Scott says there was metal on top of him. He got his right arm out and managed to hold onto this piece of metal and you know, and get himself out as well as a criminal yanking on him finally released him. But he said he was suffocating. He would have been dead. He said he could feel his time was up. And this guy was trained, and my dad describes him as an Adonis. He said this cop was a massive guy. He was huge. And you know, in interviewing the cop after the RCMP, he said, you know, never in my life had I not been able to physically like get myself out of a situation.
Yeah,
he'd been in back alleys with, you know, bad dudes. He'd been in all sorts of kind of physical altercations, but this was the first time he was, you know, really helpless.
Yeah.
And it was the criminal who saved him.
How's this not a movie?
Seriously. It reads like a movie.
Fingers crossed. It's there's a script and it's being worked on by a lovely group of young men out of LA, so we'll see.
Good. Good, good, good. I'm going to fast forward to the end here because I have like 20 seconds. So those four survived. Six did not. And I'm guessing the aftermath of surviving something like that is almost as bad as the plane crash itself, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think from my dad's perspective, he knew a lot of people on the plane, his colleague with whom he was close. I mean, though they were on different political stripes. And my dad, from that day forward, and all of these men really reexamined their lives. And Dad always looked at his life as, what have I done with the days that I got, the years that those other people did not get?
Almost kind of like a Saving Private Ryan.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Amazing story. We're linked up to the book on the radio station website. Thank you so much for coming on. And I look forward to seeing this as a movie.
Exactly.
I'll let you know.
All right. Please do.
Thanks
Thank
for
you, Carol.
Me.
Thank you.
Jonathan Carbeauty, Carbeauty & Company Realtors, good friend of us and the show, and you on the phone right now.
Good
morning.
Morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. So is it showing any signs of slowing?
You know, just when I think it's starting to show a few signs of slowing down, we put 7 new properties on the market Friday morning. 5 are under contract.
Damn.
4 over asking price by the end of the weekend. And I was just informed this morning at 8:30 that we have an offer coming in on the 6th property.
Okay, so no signs.
No. Ramping up, actually, yes.
That was a great way to illustrate. Yeah. Well, I thought, but then no.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Is there an area that's hotter than, is there an area that's super hot?
That's such a tough question. I would definitely say that Milford is hot. Milford, Orange, Bethany, that
really
everywhere is. I mean, everywhere's busy. I mean, heck, I listed a house in East Hampton over the weekend. It went in less than 24 hours.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Hmm.
I see Southbury, like everything's contingent.
I have a unique fixer-upper.
Yes.
It's either.
Very unique.
Or just knock it down and build a newer.
Yeah, that Southbury, Middlebury, that whole 84 corridor. I mean, even in Newtown, we have a listing up in Newtown right now, and we're actively negotiating back and forth an offer at the moment. So
wow.
Yeah.
Huh. And are people still coming in like no inspection, cash offer? Is that still happening?
Not so much. They are waiving the inspections, but I think a lot of the buyers and the buyer's agents are getting a little bit wiser about that because we've even seen it on our side that the buyers are getting burned a little bit waiving their inspections. I honestly believe that every buyer, it should be buyer beware, and they should have an inspection of anything that they're purchasing.
Yeah. There is a time, though, where the price gets to such where the seller says, okay, but you're going to take it the way it is, and I'm not going to go around and fix a fence post or a faucet.
Oh my Lord, that's every seller. I'm selling it as is.
Right.
It's not always realistic, but yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Put that whole wall.
And everything's moving fast. Like the bank is able to get out there and do what they need to do and
It's funny you say that. No, it's been delayed a little bit on the buying side, especially with the appraisal process. These appraisers are backed up. In many instances, we're seeing these appraisers backed up by 2 or 3 weeks. We're still waiting on an appraisal that was ordered 3.5 weeks ago, and the appraiser hasn't finished the assignment.
AJ, you know what the appraiser does?
No, they appraise.
Right.
They go.
Wait, do you know what their purpose is in the food chain?
To give the value of the house.
For who?
For the seller.
Well, no.
For the real estate guy.
For the bank.
No.
For the bank, like
for
I said,
lender.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, so
right.
the bank will give so much money towards a property.
Right.
And the appraisal is to say this house is worth that.
Okay.
Now, with these crazy prices, Jonathan, are these appraisals coming in, or are the buyers having to come up with more of a down payment?
So to answer your question, no, they're not coming in at value. And yes, the buyers are taking up the appraisal gap, the difference.
Wow.
The buyers are coming up. I had a buyer come up with a difference of $30,000 between
insane.
What it appraised at and what they had originally agreed to purchase it at.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the good part about that is the banks won't have a big problem if the market, you know, calms down or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no.
We have all this inventory that we paid more money for than we should have.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, and you brought up a valid point, Chaz, that it's a very different market where we see a lot of buyers coming in with cash. They're putting substantial down payments down. So we're seeing 20%, 25%, 30% or more down payments as opposed to, you know, people going 100% financing or just, you know, 3.5% or 5%.
Yeah, I see more and more people saying, you know, why don't I just call Jonathan and say, you just let me know how much. What do you think?
Yeah, how did it hurt? Yeah.
It's not going to hurt to know what the number is.
Of course not.
What's the number?
Yeah. Knowledge is power.
A lot of people are pleasantly surprised right now. I met a guy yesterday morning at 10 a.m. On a Sunday morning, and he was pleasantly surprised at the number that I came up at.
You know, AJ? Pleasantly surprised.
Pleasantly surprised, yes.
I'm telling you, AJ, you put your house on.
Do it, AJ.
You're going to have multiple offers.
Yeah.
He doesn't believe you.
No, I believe you. You know?
So AJ's going to be the guy that's sleeping in the bed when we show up with the buyers.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Just walk past the beer bottles.
That's, you know.
Right.
I would love for there to be a bit where anonymous real estate agents call in and tell us about those weird stories,
yes,
you know?
That's right.
Oh, my Lord. That will be the busiest call session you've had yet. You wait till you hear those war stories.
Right. The things you walk in on.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Just looking at houses.
I can't even talk
stuff.
About some of the things on the air.
Right. Right.
I thought it was
You know what we would need? We would need retired real estate agents
exactly.
to call in.
I looked at a house. I thought it was a dog's toy. It was not.
So Jonathan Carbuti's on. He actually came on to talk about something else, but I'm fascinated by the real estate market. I'm clicking on those apps all the time now on Jonathan's website. Tim in Weathersfield, you're an appraisal? Appraiser?
Yes, I'm an appraiser.
You're an appraiser?
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
So here's an example over in Glastonbury. It's a hot market right now, so... List price was $589. I got the job to do the appraisal. 90 showings. This is in one weekend. And it had a contract for $720,000. And the people said, no matter what it comes into the appraisal, we're buying it for $720,000. Oh.
Whoa.
That was fun.
And what did it come in as?
I came in at $720,000.
Wow.
I actually had support. I really did have support for that.
You know, what's interesting is that you're going to base the appraisals on what has sold, the comparable sales in the market. Now, they're
correct.
All high. So, of course, you're going to come in.
Of course.
Yeah, and there's plenty of them, too, if you have the right area. Like, I forget what he mentioned, but Milford's a hot market. Glastonbury has always been a hot market.
Wow.
You know, Rocky Hill, you guys got to come up to Hartford County. What's the matter with you guys?
Well, where the hell were you when we were on the Whale?
Yeah, for Christ's sake. Now you mentioned.
Actually, we were number two. If you combine the signals, we were number one, but don't get me started.
I listened to you guys before PLR existed. How's that?
How did you do that? Did you live next door to me? And
did you mic my baby monitor?
No, I enjoy the show.
That's funny.
Yeah, no, I'm interested in this. So you have to, the appraisal process is you go out, you inspect the house, right?
Yes.
You have to go inside or not really? You go inside.
Yes, you do.
So you got to see if the kitchen's modernized, all these things.
Has a ceiling.
Right?
Correct.
And then it's a math equation based on bedrooms, square footage, garages, yard size, swimming pool, right?
Chaz, you just need a license now. You got it.
Yeah. So people think that I'm going to put this, you know, whatever in the house or, you know, I put a $20,000 roof on, therefore the house is worth $20,000 more. No.
No.
It's supposed to have a roof.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
It's square footage. And,
right.
And Chaz, they get upset with me. I say, you know, you're not going to get that back. I say, you're going to get some of it back, but you're not going to get it all. And they get all upset and think, well, that's just the way it goes.
Right. Or you do like a game room with like real expensive, like custom wood paneling.
Yes.
You know, and you put in this super expensive floor. You don't get that back.
No, it's like a car. You know,
you might if a buyer wants to pay you for it, but the bank is not going to say, oh, wait, hold on. How much was that wood?
Yeah, we'll add this.
Yeah,
we'll
hold on. Let me write that right in here.
Yeah, no, I didn't have it.
Yeah.
So. It's fun. It's actually so busy right now. I'm turning away over a dozen orders a day.
That's incredible. Wow.
You just can't do it as a one man show. You can't do it all.
No.
Right. Squirrel this money away.
Years.
Squirrel this away.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
It's going to end.
Because everyone's moving now.
Yep.
And it's going to be.
We all moved at one point.
We're all going to be moved at some point.
Yeah, we're
static
now.
Period coming.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yes. Hold on to your nuts.
How long have you been doing this, Tim?
30 years.
This is the hottest, right? Ever?
No, actually 2003 or 2002, we had stacks of probably over 100 appraisals we needed to type. We were 2 months out from getting it to the bank.
Really?
2 months.
Hmm. I thought when you said 2000, I thought you were going to say six or seven right before the... No.
No, it was 2002, 2003 was hot.
I was hotter than this. Hotter than this?
Hotter. Well, the only thing that you're seeing now is the inflation of the prices.
Oh, okay.
We were just busy because of, I don't know what was going on.
Right.
See, a lot of sales.
Yeah.
But the banks knew 2 months out, they said, we have to do it. Everybody else is in the same boat.
So. Right.
That's a lot of fun. It's fun when you're on the road doing the inspections, but it's, you know, when you have to type everything up at night, that takes hours.
Yeah. Oh, that's the paperwork part. You have to write the story as to why it's worth this.
You got to have the right language. You're right.
All right. You got to get someone to do that for you.
Like a ghostwriter.
You really can't because I change my mind. Every time I type a letter, you change your mind.
What do you mean?
You can make all your adjustments right there. You know, you could do a little bit more of an adjustment on a bathroom or a pool, you know.
Right. Yep. As you're writing it out, right. You're like, oh, you know what? Now that I think about it, as I see it all right here in front of me.
Right. This room had no floor.
The guy immediately regrets trying to eat the world's sourest candy.
Pretty sour, huh?
Well, at least he could say he tried.
Exactly right. You can always try something.
How long do you think he lasted?
I'm going to say 2 minutes.
4 seconds.
Yipes.
You got to get at least 10.
That's some sour-ass candy.
Wow.
Come on.
Sure was candy on mothballs.
You immediately do that fish face, or you suck your cheeks in
so
both, bad.
Both your cheeks meet each other.
Yep.
Like a really thick shake. Mm, yeah.
What is this called? Mega Sour Raspberry Fizz Bombs. Can you Google that, Ashley?
That sounds like an album from Prince.
Mega Sour Raspberry Fizz Bombs.
Mega Sour Raspberry Fizz Bombs. The kind that make your face all contorted.
Nice job.
They look like little round sugary gummy things.
That narrows it down.
Thank
to
you for the accurate description.
Candies.
Right.
I mean, literally, that's what they look. They're just balls of sourness.
I want underwear.
That's a way better name, though.
Balls of sourness. Exactly. Who dares put the balls of sourness in their mouth? Please enjoy the balls of sourness.
You know what? I feel like that would be the name of a show that features Italian men in a sauna.
Right. The balls of sourness. It's an elite group.
They don't look like candy. They look like the chemicals you dump in your pool.
Oh, really?
The bright colored ones look like candy.
Right.
There's yellow and
the
red.
The raspberry ones are all blue. It's maybe, all...
Yeah. Well, maybe you bought them at the wrong place. That's a chemical.
Oh, that's funny. I Googled balls of sourness.
Oh, no. What came up? Is that my picture?
I don't want to click on images, but the first link is to Amazon hard candy, sour hard candy.
That's probably it.
It's Barnett's Mega Sour Raspberry.
Barnett's.
Blue Raspberry.
UE, right? Not EW?
Fruity Sour Balls. Original Sour
Another
Balls.
Another good underwear.
Oh, my gosh. These are expensive.
Line. How much?
$89.
What?
Wait, whoa. I saw it at $12.69.
For like a whole tub of them.
You don't want a tub.
Yeah, the giant tub that I'm looking at is basically a $90 purchase.
Ridiculous.
You don't want that.
No.
Ridiculous.
Are you feeding an army?
Oh, they have.
You know, it almost looks like tricks.
They have suggested other purchases at the bottom of the page that I'm on, and this one is called Maynard's Juicy Squirts.
Okay.
You know, I think these folks, like, laugh when they name these things.
Yeah.
I know it's called Maynard's Juicy Squirts. Ah! What do you think, Maynard? Cool.
Juicy Squirts.
There's a shot for that.
Can I Google that?
There's a shot for that. Yeah, I got it. got the juicy squirts.
Is that with a Z or an S?
That sounds like something after Mexican.
I ruined four underwears.
I got the juicy squirts.
I ruined four underwears already.
Oh, I don't even want to go to the phones now, but I'm so curious. Are you calling in on topic? Hello, you're on.
Hi, I'm calling from Aladdin, and we'd like to donate $250 for the Anthony Soto.
Oh, you're so great. So
okay.
Great. All right. So the link is on the radio station website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will do that, and I will donate, and we'd like to say it's from Aladdin. Okay?
What is Aladdin?
We are an awning company, home improvement.
Oh, very good. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
I would have guessed rugs.
Yeah. Magic carpet. Yeah.
I picture a little guy with a...
Aladdin Jasmine.
Yeah, with these...
It's like,
these...
you know, that's not a magic carpet that you're on right now, right?
Right. It puts a lamp, you rub it. These mega sour thingies over here.
Yeah. Fizz bombs.
Over here.
You can get them for $12.69 from Amazon.
How many?
I
feel like you only need
200, 200 gram bag.
200 grams. That sounds like a lot.
What are we buying, AJ?
Do we trust Amazon with something edible?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All the time.
All the time?
All the time, yeah.
What's the last edible thing you ordered from Amazon?
I ordered stuff for my mom. This is specialized stuff she got to drink.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Looks good. You know what would be worst? This would be, you know, actually funny. We set a camera up in the kitchen and just leave a bowl of these out there.
Oh, yeah.
That would be hysterical.
I want to do it with the things they put in the urinals. Put a plate over there and say they're a bunch of super suckers.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Okay, we're ordering
not
this.
Used. Yeah.
AJ, you're going
to
do
this? I'll order it, yeah. But what does it sound like? The guy tried it. How'd it work out?
Right, yeah, we're going to get there.
Okay.
Yeah, we have the sound of the guy trying it.
G goes,
I want
to
AJ to commit.
Right. Yes, I will do it.
Okay. Before you hear this.
Yes,
guy.
I will
yeah.
do it.
Yeah,
I will order these.
This,
yes.
You're
I will.
In.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
What does it say in terms of delivery?
Oh.
They're usually pretty fast.
Fastest delivery June 14th to the 17th. Free
yes.
delivery is June 23rd to the July 9th.
Wow.
Right.
Seems like you should be able to get it sooner than that.
What Phil said, yes.
What Phil said.
Copying and pasting it so I'll have an email so I don't forget it later. Like an idiot.
It's funny because I'm looking at you, and I'm also right in the lower left corner of the studio window is the Richard Simmons Chia Pet thingy. Yes.
He won't put it together.
With the green hair.
It's so insulting.
And I just feel like you're going to eat one of these things, these mega sour raspberry fizz bombs,
and look
your
like
hair's going to turn green.
Well, we'll see what
and
happens.
And grow fast.
Right. Let's see what
oh,
happens.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That
you
would
know
be
what?
Great.
It's a sour boy. How sour could it be?
How sour can it be?
Seriously.
That's
on.
How I feel.
Come on, people.
Come on.
As
right.
soon as this comes in, you're going to do it on the air.
You've seen the dumb things I've done. This can't possibly be anywhere near it.
Right. All right. So here's the guy trying it.
This is supposed to be the most sourest candy. So let's see. Open it. Whew, burn my nose. Look at it. Look how sour it is. Look, just look at the powder.
I said I'd do it, didn't I?
It sounds like he's dying.
Yeah, it's just
choking him out.
Chemicals.
Like someone's choking him
oh
out.
Oh my God, this is an old man's last sounds before. It's over.
Right.
This is it. These
right.
are.
Oh, that guy that bought Ashley
good
socks.
Are you supposed to chew these or suck on these?
You suck on them. Right.
Oh.
Doesn't sound like he did much sucking.
There's
the squeak.
Yes.
The squeak.
Right. Yeah. There's a couple of chokes that are just from the deep down.
He's got no air left.
That's yeah. walking in the men's room after 9 o'clock.
There has been time.
After the bacon, egg, and cheese get kicked in with the coffee.
Yes.
Exactly. You got to put your shirt over your nose and walk in.
Let's listen to like the last few seconds.
Okay.
Oh.
You know, we should all do one.
All right.
Wow, I didn't sign up for
that. Yeah. So AJ and Phil.
It got so quiet in there.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
Oh, we need to order those today.
Yeah, I'll order tonight.
Today.
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 Yeah, I want the package in here unopened.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we open it here. I'm not going to replace that with something that Skittles.
I am a man of my word, yes. When I get the words out, yes.
What are
Chad,
you a man of?
Chad, you heard
what
me.
That word is, we don't know, but you're a man of it.
The word was kick your ass.
All the words.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now, and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.